All right, we are learning the bracha Vayivarach David. Let's take a quick look. We are up to page Kufayin Zayin. We're going to do Vayivarach David. We're going to start from there. Something earlier I wanted to refer to, but you'll have to rely on my memory, which is a little shrach. But okay, you'll see in a minute. Vayivarach David es Hashem la'inei kol ha'kol. This is something we say every day. We're so accustomed to saying it every day that our mouths just say it, and I don't think we think about the meaning, because as I was learning this, I was thinking, really? We say that every day?
Does that make it to stand?
It's interesting. The minute to stand is not of clear origin. It is said that the reason that they stand is because they used to come in to collect tzedakah. And there's a custom to stand in the oisei mitzvah. When people who are going, the Mishnah says in Bikurim, that when they brought the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, every guy would stand up for the person bringing the Bikurim. In the Mishnah's Bikurim, if I recall correctly, there's a Haggais from Bikiv Eger, says that's why we stand when the baby's brought in by a bris. You ever noticed everyone stands up? When they bring the baby for a bris, everyone stands up. And wait, what?
It's not for the baby, right.
By a levaya, when the mace comes in, everyone stands up. Also, it's not for the mace, it's for the shushrina, for the people bringing in the mace. The people bringing in the baby, when somebody is oisik in a mitzvah, no matter how simple a person, he deserves the respect of the people around him. And that's a reason to stand up. So by a wedding, it's interesting. We all recall, my boys, nobody stood up when the Chasen Kala came in. I made the point in the past that when the Zaydis walk in, you mechuyev to stand up. It's a chiyuv d'oraisa to stand up for a person who's a man or a woman who's over 70 years old that walks in. But anyway, as far as standing up for the Chasen Kala, in Shulchan Aruch it says to stand during the chuppah. During the whole chuppah, it says to stand. But the reason that's given is out of respect. Not standing up for people, but respectfully. And therefore, when the decorum is best with everyone sitting, so we understand that that's the same. If there is a source for standing up for Chasen Kala, it's for the people who walk them in. Just like you walk in a mace or a bris milah baby. Then, so too, for those bringing in, if there is a source for it, then that would be the source.
What about the saying the chasam don't
know? I don't see it. The custom is to stand up when a chasam walks in, except by the chuppah. Or do people stand up when the chasam comes in typically? Yeah, chasam is domel melech, but, he's domel melech, he doesn't go to work. I don't know if he's domel melech. Oh, during Sheva Brachas he stands up. He's not Domel HaMelech before he puts on the ring. Interesting. It's interesting. It's always struck me. It says that we don't say Takhta when there's a Chasen, but we include right before the wedding, which also a little puzzling because he's not a Chasen before the wedding. What?
I never understood that.
It's put clearly in Halacha that before the wedding as well. What? Well, there are two customs. Some say that day, and some say the minyan before, which would be mincha, typically. But we do both. My recollection is that in Tarvei Das, the minyan was always not to do it by shachris, and at some point somebody changed it.
Well, what happens if the chuppah is after night?
Even the chuppah is after night. The mincha before, according to all minhagim, you don't, and according to shachris, the kafah chayim brings the two minhagim. Mishnah Berurah doesn't say clearly if he means the minyan before, two minyanim before, to best of my recollection. But the minyan before. Okay, at any rate, getting back here. Vayivar tovet es Hashem la'ine kol ha'kol. And it's an unusual expression. He blessed them to the eyes of the people. It doesn't mean you bless them to the eyes of the people, the ears of the people, or in front of the people. What does it mean, la'ine kol ha'kol? See, he says an interesting pshat. First he says, Eino nu waimru koma sha'ama as David. We don't say the whole speech that David said. Royal is bainam ba'isam sukkah shuchta su'beseder at tefillah. And it's appropriate We should understand the meaning of those psukim that are in the Siddur. Heyo, shadera chaylam lispal b'merutza. There are some people who daven quickly. And out of habit, and they don't really pay attention to the points that need understanding. It needs to be understood. Why does it mean he blessed them to the eyes of all of the people? Before them. There was no miracle when David spoke. Now there were no microphones at the time, and therefore David HaMelech was speaking to the assembled Klal Yisrael, which presumably was at least hundreds of thousands of people, and he didn't have a loud enough voice to project to everybody. And there was no miracle that he could be heard. And therefore, Ela Shebemis Rakasmuchin Lo Yishabu, the people close to him heard him. And they repeated it for those that were beyond him. That was the custom. The occasion was when he did two things. It was when the coronation of Shlomo HaMelech. At the same time, at the end of an appeal for gathering Beis HaMikdash needs. So what they used to do is they had, instead of microphones, they had people that were microphones, and David would say a couple of sentences, and that person would say it, and the next person would say it, and it was a chorus. Yeah.
Play telephone.
Hopefully it came out the right way at the end. Talk us to the head back. It was a different message. I don't know if they had today before the president makes a speech, they give out the speech to the people. The newspaper says the president departed from the prepared text. I think with Trump, they say at this point he stuck with the prepared text. But the point is that the word spread. Now, at first glance, that's not the ideal way of doing it. You know, you have a microphone; it's much better. But if you give it thought, you realize that, on the contrary, it makes a whole ASIC out of the speech. It makes a whole hullabaloo and understanding. When you speak, you speak, and when you speak, you stop, and it's repeated. Presumably the words are chosen more carefully and they resonate more. There's a pause.
Has someone thought about the great synagogue in Alexandria when they davened and the line was so big that they couldn't hear when it was time to say Amen or Yehoshua Rabbah? So they had a
flag waving system. I want to tell you the most amazing thing about the flag waving system. It's one, they have a flag, so you say Amen, big deal. The halacha is, people aren't aware of it, you don't say Amen to a bracha unless you know which bracha is being said. You don't have to hear it.
But
you have to know. If you're in the hall and you hear the people saying Amen, you don't answer Amen with them. If you don't know what bracha it's on, you don't answer Amen. That means that, let's say, during Chazaras HaShatz, the people have to keep track. We don't have to keep track. We're daydreaming halfway, but we hear. Mazel Shnos, let's hear. We say Amen. But here, where they couldn't hear him, they really had to keep track of which bracha he's up to, or they couldn't answer Amen. So it's an interesting thing.
They had to know the Amen was going to which bracha.
Absolutely.
And then the next bracha was the one that was being said, and that's how they kept track.
You don't have to get the bracha to say Amen?
No, you have to know what the bracha is. It's interesting, if you don't hear the bracha, you're not obligated to answer. It's a reshus to answer. When you hear a bracha, you're obligated to answer.
Right.
If you don't hear it, just to hear the people saying, oh, man, there's no obligation to answer. But it's interesting. It says the same thing by Zeis HaTorah. It says to say it only if you're close enough to see it. I mean, you can say it all day, but the custom to say it is for those who are close enough. Most people typically are not.
Why do some people take the finger when they do?
There's a custom to point the finger at.
David Jacobson
said
the Torah is out.
You can't see.
Even if you're on top of it, you're
well, you can see it's a Sefer Torah. You're right. Betty, back here. So what does this have to do with La'ine Kol HaKahol? See, he says beautifully. Avshaloi hoi sashmiya ba'ozne Kol HaKahol. David made a speech. They didn't all hear it. Well, come on, give me La'ine Kol HaKahol. Isn't that a funny way of saying it? He made a speech that everyone saw his speech. Shekulam ro eichu b'varech es Hashem. Why is this important? Listen to what he says. Hadiburim ha'elu, these words of Ivar David, ha'yulem toichein rav erech v'chashivos nifla. The words have extraordinary meaning. Ad sha'afilu mishal ha'yoya lo'el yadai b'shas ha'shmiya. Somebody who didn't have el, when it doesn't refer to God, means power. Well, he didn't have, he was not able at the time he heard l'samek b'tzfuna is habracha hazayis, to understand the depth of the bracha. V'komakim hisamit zachikach la'ayin hodek heite b'kavonas hadvar. It's like when a Rosh Hashiva gives a shir and the people say we have to chazer over, we have to understand the depth of the shir. When David gave a shir, it could be understood on a simple level and it can be understood on a deeper level. So the people realized that they needed to chazer shir, so to speak. So la'ene kol ha'kahal meant to the understanding, as he says, v'zeo la'ene sh'ro kol ha'kahal ha'chashivus v'divrei David elu. So la'ene kol ha'kahal means to the deeper understanding of all of the people. Now, let's start. Vayemid David, Baruch Ata Hashem. At least that part of it we're familiar with. Elokei Yisrael Avinu. Period. Sholakim Shel Avinu Yisrael. Kimavur B'tamei Hanegina B'Divrei Hayamim Sham. That Elokei is connected to Yisrael Avinu. May Olam. Now here's the issue I wanted to bring up. He talks about it earlier in the book, in the Sefer. I don't recall where. What does Olam mean? There's something of a disagreement. What? Olam means world. Now, when you say Olam Vaed, what does that mean?
Forever.
Olam Vaed clearly means forever. But when you say, Yesh Mei Rabom Ivarach, Olam, Lomei Olmaya. Does that mean in all the worlds? Or does it mean, for eternity? You follow? Yesh Mei Rabom Ivarach, Hashem Shebest, Olam, Lomei Olmaya. Does that mean in all the worlds and all the forms of existence? Or does it mean in all of the, in all of eternity? So I found in one of the, this is such an excellent book, I have to tell you, that this is a footnote. This isn't even in the text of the thing, but you know, it's more, it has the idea. In the text it talks about Chei Olamim, the expression Chei Olamim. But what's written on the bottom, is the correct definition of Olamim is not relevant to this discussion. Still, it's difficult to present a translation without pointing out that many Rishonim prefer translating Olamim as a reference to time rather than space. Melechei Olamim at the end of Yishtabach. Now we say Melechei Olamim, or the Sardim say Chai Olamim. Yishtaburach, he says Chai Olamim, we say Chai Olamim. But at any rate, there are those who translate it as meaning time, the eternal life giver. Rav Sham Shlomo Farl Hirsch prefers this approach, translating Adoin Olam, oh that's where it is, as the eternal master. Adoin Olam, Hashem Olach, B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. How do you translate that? Do we have an English, art scroll to see what they say? That's where it probably is here earlier. What? Adoin Olam, the master of the world. So Rav Hirsch, and Rav Schwab of course goes with Rav Hirsch's approach, which you probably would go with Rav Hirsch's approach as well, right? Rav Hirsch says Adon Olam means the eternal master, rather than the master of the worlds.
Master of the world.
So world is a physical place, and Olam, eternity, is space rather than, is time rather than space.
Is that translated universe, I think?
Universe is a physical place. And eternity, it means time. So it's funny, he talks about it earlier in the Sefer, I just don't remember where it's that here.
The following sentence,
that definitely refers to time. So I guess the question is if they both refer to time, I guess. Right, let's read what he says here. Predictably, he goes with Rav Hirsch's translation. He says, "May Olam Bagdumos Hanistores Meide Kol Chai." At the earliest period of time, something that that's hidden from us. Vad Olam Ad Ha'osin HaNe'alam. So he's saying eternity and Olam is because it refers to Ne'alam, the hidden beginning and the hidden end. So he's teaching Olam as May Olam Vad Olam as forever and ever. Why is Yaakov Avinu mentioned? Hashem Elokei Yisrael Avinu. Why Yaakov more than anyone else? Shari is Katsu Kol HaKol Etzarach Binyan HaBayis. This gathering was made to make an appeal for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Esher Beisi Beis Tfilo Yikarei L'Cholo Amim. B'zeh Yiskayim Meloich HaKol HaOilam Kulay. Hashem's malchus over the entire, this means the world. Hidei shorish kol zeh bibashe nishtar shvoi shel Yaakov liYisrael lohayreis. Kisarisa melekim v'anoshim. That Yaakov's predominance is over the angels and over humanity. Ubiru chazal shetzurose chakuka b'kisei Yaakov. Meaning that the Beis HaMikdash is, I guess, the central place for the entire Bria, everything in Bria. And he's saying that's more shayach to Yaakov than it is to Avraham and Yitzchak. Finally, L'cho Hashem HaGadula. Now, I read this, I don't translate it right. I always think, L'cho Hashem HaGadula, Hashem, you have the, how do you translate greatness, and Gadula, kindness, however you translate it. L'cho Hashem HaGadula, Hashem, true Gadula is by you, like we say in we turn to God as Godol. He says, that's not what it means. Listen to what he says. Biru Mefarshim Amikra Pi Kloli Shel Rambam. This Pasuk is referring to Mefarshim in Nach. Translate based on the Rambam. Shloi Sheikh Yitzal Kadosh Baruch Hu Shum Toyar B'Muvan HaAnushi. There's no understanding that we have in human terms for God. Vainly Yachiz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atz V'Shum Midah. And we don't attribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu any sort of a measure. Shemitzir Seis Baruch Ein B'Avsharas Lahasik. Shemitos Atzmu Seis Baruch Bilti Yedua El Atzmai. Ein Pirish Lucha Hashem HaGdula HaGdula HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like I've been saying for the first 61 years of my life. I mean, since I started saying it. Ella Kavana, Nupshat. I really should look at the very young and see if everyone agrees with this, but he says, Masha'ata Yizbarach Manik Gedula Letzadikim. When we see Gedula in this world by human beings, Hari Be'emesh Shalchahi V'loy Shalahem. Sha'ata Lesat Alehem. See what he's saying? L'cha Hashem HaGedula Bagvura V'tferes V'adeis V'yehoi means, when we see in Olam Hazeh greatness, when we see in Olam Hazeh beauty, whatever we see in this world, L'chei Elomim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. So according to this, HaGava V'Gdula doesn't mean that God has Gaiva and Gdula. It means when you see in this world Gaiva V'Gdula, Dei and Dibor, Hoid V'Hodor, it's all Shayach to the Rabbi Nishalem. It's a new shot. But David saw at this time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had let Klal Yisrael have a respite from all of their enemies. And everybody realized it came together to follow David, parenthetically, he says, after the rebellion of Adonio, or the attempt of Adonio to seize power, Bavadai Yechune Machusai, Koroi Elias, Merutza L'Cholam, V'Yiz Gabriel Al-Cholam Mechshaylam. And that Shlaima would be king. This was really the zenith. The Zayar says that the history of the Jewish people is Nimshal to the moon. That in the beginning God was hidden, and in the 40th, the 15th generation, which was David HaMelech, the moon was, the Lashon is, Tiara Bashlamusa. The light of the moon in its completion. Klal Yisrael is complete. So here was the Ashlamusa, was the complete, light. The problem, of course, is that once the moon is full, there's only one way left to go, and that's downhill. So 15 more generations, and the Churban Bayis Rishon took place. It was sort of 30 generations, 15 climbing up to Shlomo HaMelech, and then 15 descending towards the Churban. What?
What about
15? What about?
After the temple was destroyed, so we count 15 if you don't come out.
After the Korban.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there may be some counting for that. I don't know. We seem to, be riding many stormy waves since then. It's, which is incredible. It's, I came here from a Vart, the grandmother, probably great grandmother of the Kala, was one of the Holocaust survivors who was in the White House for the Hanukkah party. So a nice thing, you know, like, but she explained to me that she was 14 when she went through the death camps. Her parents were killed. And for her, it's like, you know, there was, nobody was willing to listen to them or look to them and talk to them. And here, you know, they're invited to the White House. And the fact that they're constantly ceremonies with all kinds of human beings, not the point. The point is her emotion, and very emotional about that. A very intelligent woman. She said she went, she wore a red jacket. She felt there were going to be so many people there, no one would notice. So she was the one in the red, you know, like she was the one that was noticed. But anyway, getting back here, so David HaMelech realized that this was the Chasham HaGedula. He was saying, to Hashem, to you is the greatness. This is a moment of greatness of Olam Hazeh. And therefore, when we say Ve'Varach David, I guess we should try to be aware of the reference to L'cha Hashem HaGedula. So
it's written in the Nevin, right?
Iksuvim, yeah.
So aren't we allowed to attribute those to Hashem?
Well, he's saying that the pasuk is not intended that way. We are allowed to, but it's not intended that way. But basically, we learned tonight is Leide Kol HaKol, what that means, and the Be'olam V'yad Olam, what that means, and L'cha Hashem HaGedula. Now, somebody has to give me a nudge when I finish Kol HaNeshama and Tekal L'Kol, that I should wake up, and when I say it, you know, for a few days I say it, I remind myself what it means, and then hopefully I'll remember it permanently. Have a Shabbos Shachris, you'll kick me under the table or something when we get up to it, okay? Okay, we'll try, believe that there. So next week, Monday.